Okay, thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers for inviting me here and for support. Of course, nonlinear pulsation is a very broad topic. In my talk, I will focus on large amplitude pulsation in classical instability strip pulsation in CFAs and in error Lyra stars, in particular on multiperiodic pulsation. These are opacity-driven pulsation, predominantly radial mode pulsation. First, I will describe the new discoveries made not only from space, thanks to satellite mission, Coro and Kepler, but also from the ground. At the moment, SOREE is lagging behind the observation. In some cases, we even don't know what we really see, which pulsation modes we see, and also our understanding of multi-periodic pulsation of mechanism behind is poor. So first, new discoveries. Certainly, the most exciting discoveries are connected to the Blaschko effect, and we had a talk of Robert Szabo yesterday. I just want to remind you about the period doubling effect, which is caused by the 9-2 resonance, and it might be responsible for the Blaschko effect itself. The fact that this is resonance means that we deal here with multiperiodic pulsation. Also in many Blaschko variables, we see additional pulsation modes, so multiperiodic pulsation may play important role in the Blaschko effect as well. But now, multiperiodic pulsation in non-modulated stars, it is best to study these stars using the Petersen diagram, in which for each pair of excited modes, we plot the ratio of the shorter to longer period versus the longer period. And we start with error Lyra stars. Here, for many years, the only group of variables were error Lyra stars that pulsate simultaneously in the fundamental and in the first overtone. More than 1,000 such stars are currently known in the OGLE database, which is the most homogeneous and extensive source of such type of data. But new discoveries were done thanks to satellite missions. 9 stars are located here. They form a tight and well-defined sequences. Most of them were discovered from space. And these are the stars that pulsate simultaneously in the fundamental and in the second overtone. This is the modeling for one particular Coro star made by Poretti et al. What you see are error Lyra models of different parameters and different metallicities plotted with different colors. The plotted period ratio is the second to the fundamental, second overtone to the fundamental mode. So location of the star is well explained with the assumption that these two pulsation modes are excited. In addition, you can see that we can constrain the metallicity of the star using the Petersen diagram. And this is the modeling for the wall group. Again, different colors for different metallicities. And you see that the wall group is nicely reproduced, assuming that the second overtone and fundamental mode are excited. And this is very interesting because there is a question what has happened with the first overtone, which is missing here. Also, the other issue is the stability of the second overtone. Unless large mass or large mass to luminosity is assumed, which is rather untypical, we do not get the second overtone is not unstable here. It is unstable in this part of the Petersen diagram. So likely resonances play a role in this type of pulsation, but this has to be studied. And even more exciting group of variables located here with period ratios around 0.6, between 0.6 and 0.64. 13 stars are known, including 4 in the Kepler field. One of the excited modes is the first overtone, and we do not know what is the other pulsation mode here. These are the results of modeling for some particular metallicity. The plotted period ratios are fourth overtone to the first overtone and third overtone to the first overtone. And as you see, our stars lie in between. For larger metallicity, this is solar metallicity, we can maybe match some of these stars, but this metallicity is very large and still most of the stars lie in between. I will go back to the stars later after discussing Cepheids because we see very similar type of pulsation in Cepheids. So now cephades. Here for many years we had two types of multiperiodic variables, stars that pulsate simultaneously in the fundamental and in the first overtone, and stars that pulsate in first and second overtones. But in Ogle data we can find many more interesting cases. Two stars pulsate in first and third overtone. So again, one mode is missing, the second overtone is missing. This is very similar to early Lyra stars pulsating in the fundamental and in the second overtone. There are eight triple mode pulsators, which come in two flavors. They either pulsate in fundamental first and second overtone, or in first, second, and third overtones. For these stars, you can do astero-seismic modeling, and for two stars, it was done by Moskalik and Dzimbowski. And the most interesting group, stars with period ratio around 0.6. We have 175 such stars. They form three well-defined sequences here. Again, we know that one of the pulsation modes is first overtone, and we have no idea what is the other mode. This is not a radial mode. We have checked that with Wojtek Dzimbowski. Again, the closest period ratio is third to first overtone. And now all these stars showing period ratio around 0.6, error Lyra stars here, cephades here. In all these cases, first overtone is excited. Cephades form these three well-defined sequences. No such structure is visible, at least now, in case of early Lyra stars. Radial modes are ruled out. This is particularly clear for cephades, because if these stars, if these are consecutive overtones, then the spacing of these groups is too small in the Peterson diagram. So maybe non-radial pulsation. Well, sure, non-radial pulsation. Modeling of non-radial pulsation is very difficult. These are modes of mixed character, acoustic modes in the envelope and gravity modes in the deep interior, where the wavelength becomes so short that you cannot properly resolve the eigenfunctions. The recent result comes from Mulet-Marquis. The modes of low L that in principle could be visible are stable. Only the modes of large L are unstable. So we have problems and modeling of non-radial pulsation is needed here. Maybe a hint what these stars are can come from the observations. As I mentioned, four of these early Lyra stars were observed by Kepler. All Kepler early Lyra stars that pulsate in first overtone show this type of behavior. But situation is even more complicated. These are the power spectra for these four stars. First overtone was removed. Here you see the secondary frequency. In each case, also subharmonic frequencies are visible, either here or on the other side, which means that the secondary mode undergoes a period doubling. Also, the amplitude of the secondary mode strongly varies in time. So certainly, these are very exciting variables to study. Modeling of non-radial pulsation is also needed because of other stars. This is a sample of power spectra from Moskalik and Kołaczkowski, against stars that pulsate in the first overtone, which was removed. It's in the center of the power spectra. But in each case, we see additional signal located too close to the removed overtone to be explained by another radial mode. So now, understanding of multiperiodic pulsation, mechanism behind the multiperiodic pulsation. And it is very poor. We don't understand even the simplest case, that is simultaneous pulsation in fundamental and in the first overtone. At least the issue is controversial here. So how do we study this? We studied these problems with nonlinear pulsation codes, which are one-dimensional formulae. The earliest models were purely radiative. Basically, we start with a hydrostatic equilibrium model. We kick it with linear velocity eigenfunction coming from linear analysis and integrate forward in time the equations of motion, momentum equation, and energy equation. And we study the resulting limiting amplitude pulsation. Here I mention only the Stellingwerf code, which was very fruitful. It was used in Florida by Robert Buchler and collaborators to model all types of large amplitude pulsators with many, many successes, like reproducing and explaining the Hertzsprung bump progression in cephalids. And the last success is very fresh. In 1992, Buchler and Moskalik found a period doubling in their radiative models of BL Herculis stars. And they concluded that this type of behavior should eventually be found. And we discovered first such variable only this year. This is the light curve of first BL Herculis star showing the period doubling effect. But poorly radiative models failed to reproduce the double periodic pulsation. And thus convection, which is essential phenomenon acting in the external layers of the stars, was neglected. The hope was that inclusion of convection will help. So this is basically how the convection model that we use looks like. The momentum and energy equations are supplemented with additional terms, the turbulent fluxes, pressure, heat, and with the energy coupling term. These additional terms are determined once the profile of turbulent energy across the model is determined, and this profile is determined using one additional equation for the turbulent energy. There are two types of models. One is due to Stellingwerf 1982, the other is by Kuchfuss. And indeed, inclusion of turbulent convection into the models led to success. In 1998, Kohl et al. Published first cephalid models pulsating into pulsation modes. Feuchtinger published one Erlaire model, and later systematic surveys of double periodic pulsations were published by Florida Budapest group. But there is a controversy whether these models are physically correct. In 2008, I implemented the turbulent convection model into the pulsation code, and despite many efforts, I couldn't find any double periodic models. It was strange because our code uses essentially the same description, the Kuchfuss model. It turned out that the small difference in the model equations leads to huge difference for the mode selection problem. But before discussing this small difference, I want to say a few words about reliability of this one-dimensional recipes that we use. So what is their origin? It is the Reynolds averaging technique. Each quantity is decomposed into mean and fluctuating part. So continuity, momentum, energy equations decompose into also into mean and fluctuating part. We pick the energy, the equations for the turbulent energy, which is square root of the perturbed velocity in the radial direction averaged. And in order to make this equation tractable, so we can implement it in one-dimensional hydrocodes, we need to make some approximations and adopt closure relations. Like in the Kuchfuss model, we have the downgradient approximation for the turbulent fluxes. And this is how we arrive at the full model. I'm not going to discuss all these things. I just want to say that each term here has a physical meaning. It describes some physical process, like S is the source function, which describes the buoyancy, buoyant driving or damping of the turbulent motions in convectively unstable and convectively stable regions. It is proportional to the superadiabatic gradient. D is a dissipation term, which essentially models the turbulent cascade. Dr is the term that models the radiative cooling of the convective eddies. And of course, because of these possible approximations, possible closure relations, there is ambiguity. Some ambiguity in these models. Considering the source term, which is most important, it is represented differently in these two models I discuss. In Kuchfuss model, it is proportional to the superadiabatic gradient. In the Stellingwerf model, to the square root of superadiabatic gradient. But in both cases, this term is either positive in convectively unstable regions, where it drives the convection, or negative in convectively stable regions, where it dumps breaks the convective motions. And it turns out that with two recipes, no double mode solutions can be found. For Kuhfuss model, we have checked this. The Stalling-Whorf recipe is adopted in the Italian code, and no double periodic models were published. So what is the difference in the Florida-Budapest hydro code? Essentially, the same formula is adopted for the source term, like in Kuhfuss model, but negative buoyancy effects are neglected, which means that the source term is always positive. It can only drive the convection, but it cannot damp it. And with such approach, we can get the double mode solutions, double mode models. But we think this is not correct. This is how the neglect of negative buoyancy helps. It is best to look at the profile of turbulent energy for models that include the negative buoyancy and neglect the negative buoyancy. This is a single periodic model, one pulsation cycle, pulsation phase is along this axis, the model zone is along this axis, interior of the model is here. So here you see the main convective zone. And in a model that includes the negative buoyancy, below the convective zone, the turbulent energy is effectively damped to a very small value, so it has no dynamical meaning. But in a model that includes, that neglects the negative buoyancy, the turbulent energy drops only by three orders of magnitude. And here you have a plateau, which extends over several pressure scale heights, in which turbulent energies are large. So large that they have dynamical effect on pulsation, namely, they lead to viscous damping of the pulsation. So the amplitude of the model is smaller as compared to the model which includes the negative buoyancy. And this is crucial for the double mode pulsation to emerge. This amplitude reduction is differential, amplitude of the fundamental mode is reduced stronger, and as a result, self-saturation effects exceed the cross-saturation, and this is how the double mode pulsation emerge. But this is a result of unphysical assumption. Of course, double periodic pulsators exist, so the question is, can we improve the one-dimensional formulae to model them? In particular, maybe our description of overshooting is wrong, and in fact, we can get something like this using physical assumptions. So the idea is to use three-dimensional simulations to improve the one-dimensional models, and we heard during the conference about many models that work for main sequence stars and giant stars. In fact, some of them were already used to improve the mixing length theory, like the models of Arnett, Makin, and Young. But for large amplitude pulsation, this modeling is even more challenging because of large amplitude pulsation. And basically, two groups publish or start to publish the physically realistic models. This is the group of Vienna group, Professor Mutsam, and the code Antares, and the Canadian group with the code Spheres by Chris Guerou and Rob Dupree. So just brief results from briefly some results from the simulations with Antares code. The code includes realistic microphysics, opacities, equation of state. Also, it treats the radiation hydrodynamics. This is the snapshot from the simulation. What I want to point is the significant downdraft here. Estimate of overshooting in this case is up to one pressure scale height. But one has to remember that this is two-dimensional simulations. In three dimensions, this overshooting will be smaller. And some results from the Spheres code. This is also two-dimensional code working at the moment, but three-dimensional code is expected soon. Again, realistic equation of state and realistic opacities. Radiation is treated in diffusion approximation, which is reasonable to study the effects below the convective zone. And few full amplitude pulsation, models were evolved to full amplitude pulsation. This is exemplary radial velocity curve and the snapshot from the simulation. Again, large downdrafts are visible. Estimates of overshooting made by Chris Guerou are between 0.25 and 0.5 pressure scale heights, depending on the pulsation phase. So it seems this overshooting is not strong enough to help us with the double, with the modeling, with the problem of modeling the double periodic pulsation. So conclusions, modeling of non-radial pulsation is needed in order to explain this many stars that show the non-radial mode, in particular those with period ratios around 0.6. And also, three-dimensional hydrodynamic simulations are needed, which include the large amplitude pulsation and interaction of large amplitude pulsation with convection are needed. But I also want to finish with showing this plot of turbulent energy profile in which the negative buoyancy was neglected, but it leads to a double periodic pulsation. So the question is, can we get such large turbulent energies below the convection zone, but with some physical assumptions, or more general, what dissipation mechanism below the turbulent convection zone here we are missing, because it would help us to get the physically correct double periodic models. Thank you.
Can you say a little bit more about the turbulence closure model you're using? Can you say a little bit more about the closure model you're using? Because, I mean, there's 100 different possible ways of doing things.
What we are using is a Kuchfuss model, in which essentially the downgradient approximation is used.
I would just be interested in the overshoot region, whether your convective heat flux changes signs, or does it get negative? Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
It can become negative. Thank you. The problem is that with the Kuchfuss model, the extent of overshooting is always small because of this effective damping due to buoyancy.
It's also the case, so you get the negative heat flux even without taking into account your negative buoyancy term, or
so if the negative buoyancy is neglected, well, the same applies to the convective heat flux. I mean, plus is also placed here. I mean, the convective heat flux is also always positive in this case.
If you neglect the negative buoyancy term, then you get a positive heat flux.
A zero heat flux. Yes, this is how it works in this Florida Budapest code, I think.
Okay, thanks.
But our approach includes the negative buoyancy, so we don't have such problems.
There's one thing you didn't talk about in your very nice talk that's also nonlinear effects, and that's the amplitude limitation of heat engine driven pulsators. So, and mode selection, for instance, in delta Scuti stars. Do you have any comments on the mechanisms that might be causing that?
Well, I haven't looked into this problem in more detail, but what I think it's now time to use the Kepler data to study the problem in more detail. The fact that we have so many modes excited in delta Scuti stars means that we have to make a very different approach. We cannot use such modeling like here. What we can do, we can try to use the amplitude equations. There was some work done with Rafał Nowakowski and Wojtek Ziębowski earlier. The problem is, however, that you have to know the coupling coefficients that enter the amplitude equations. And this is actually impossible to compute them, but maybe it's now time to use the Kepler observations, amplitudes, phases, information about combination frequencies to try to constrain these parameters and then look what amplitude equations will produce. It is difficult because you should know what is the, for example, you need to know correctly know the amplitude, so you need the projection factor and so on. So, but
I'll be right there, Robert. You can start shouting now.
Thank you. Just to answer Ian's question, Zoltán Kollát has started to do some kind of work to explain the small number of, the usually small number of the excited delta scuti frequencies, and he adopted exactly that kind of approach that Radek mentioned. He took Monte Carlo simulation. It is unpublished yet, so he was just playing with these coefficients. And, but very he got very interesting results, and usually he ended up, even if he took into account 25 or 50 modes, the final state was usually containing only 5 or 6. So they were very interesting coupling between those, and they were very interesting end results.
Be right there, Pavel.
The result that Robert Szabo was just talking about is very similar to what Nowakowski and Dziembowski found. They just wrote a system of amplitude equations and look for collective saturation. And the answer was that only some modes stay, and most importantly, you cannot predict which ones will stay.
Other issues, questions? Well, let's thank Radek again. You get bonus points for remembering to take off your microphone.